What is so exciting is when you're in that entrepreneurial journey and there is a big problem to be solved and you have the opportunity to make people's lives a lot better by doing it, how can you say no to that?
I'm Jonathan Gandolf and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back, everybody, to the Content Cocktail Hour. I am thrilled to be joined by Dr. Amy Cook today, co-founder and CMO at Fullcast. This is going to be an exciting conversation. I love getting the kind of C-suite perspective on everything content, everything marketing, and happening in B2B SaaS. So, Amy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. I feel really lucky to be able to just have a conversation about cocktails and marketing and everything related to sales planning.
We'll see how the conversation balances out between cocktails and content and marketing. Sometimes that balance gets out of whack, but we'll see how we do today. Amy, I know you've got a pretty interesting background. Before I maybe ramble a little bit about it or ask you some questions about it, I'd love to hear in your own words kind of a little bit about your journey to Fullcast and a little bit about Fullcast as well.
So I started off my career as a writer. And what's very interesting about that was I was not expecting to get into marketing. I got a master's degree in English, a PhD in communication. I was expecting to go into academics. And then I started working on a couple of marketing projects and I just found my mission and my purpose. And I absolutely love it. So I grew up as part of an entertainment family. I had a lot of experience with PR. And so I started an agency about 15 years ago called Stage Marketing. And that kind of went into the background. And Ryan Westwood, who was at the time at Simplus, asked me to come in-house and be his CMO. And so it was such an amazing opportunity to really learn about the Salesforce platform, to learn about sales, how a fast-growing startup works. So I left my agency and joined him, and we had fabulous success from 2017 to 2020 when it was acquired by Infosys. Then in between working with Ryan again, he's now the CEO of Fullcast. It is an absolute pleasure to be able to get the gang back together and start over. And in between that, I was also was the CMO of a digital AI research pathology company called Pathology Watch. And so I became exposed to an industry-based AI research and EMR platform for healthcare. And it was really a lot of fun. So I also had one other in between called Onboard, where I was the CMO from Series A through their acquisition. And so it's been a really, really fun ride the past few years, being able to go from startup and grow it quickly.
I have a lot of questions. I'm excited to dig into some of that. The company I was at prior to The Juice was also in the healthcare space. And that's a complex space to be in. A lot of different mixed incentives and motives and everything. So I always think like people who have figured that out can figure a lot out. And then I love the background as a writer. We find a lot of the really good marketers we talk to, they have a background in journalism or writing. I was just talking to a marketer yesterday I have a ton of respect for. She actually taught English prior to getting into marketing.
Okay.
I think like there's something to like storytelling, crafting that story. I think knowing really good questions to ask all leading to really powerful marketing. Yeah. So
there's a really interesting book called Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. Have you heard of that?
Yes, yes. So
that book, he will take Fortune 500 companies all the way through this journey, you know, like it's based in rhetorical principles. And so as I was reading that book, I had a client who said, hey, we're going to follow this. I really want you to read this. And it was Aristotle 101. It was what I got my degree in. And so it was really a lot of fun. You can keep recording this if you want to or not, but my dog is begging for treats right now. So I'm going to say, in order for him to be quiet, we're going to get a treat. Sorry.
What is your dog's name?
His name's Rocky.
Rocky. We'll have to say this is the Content Cocktail Hour with Amy Cook and Rocky.
Content Cocktail with Amy Cook and Rocky. And, you know, while I'm at it, I might as well tell you what I enjoy drinking.
Yes.
Is Diet Mountain Dew. So I will drink that all day long, every day. I feel like it's like turning on my brain.
I am that way with Diet Dr. Pepper. That is mine and my wife's. We probably to have way too much of that in the house at all times. I'm actually trying to wean off of it with diet ginger ale right now. We'll see how that
goes. I have that Canada Dry. I like it, but it's not as good as the hard stuff.
Yeah, the hard stuff. Listen to us. Yeah. The full diesel. I love it.
That's right. So anyway.
Well, I was going to say, you answered our first question, which is what we always ask our guests, which is, what do you enjoy drinking? Typically, we end our conversations with, what is one unpopular opinion you have as it pertains to marketing or the B2B world? But you actually told me before we hit record, you have an answer queued up for this that could lead into the rest of our conversation. So speaking of cocktails and mixology, we're going to mix it up here, and I'm going to let you lead the way with your unpopular opinion.
All right. I had a CEO that I was working with, Pathology Watch, Dan, I'm talking to you. He said one day, Amy, your job is going to be gone in 4 years with AI. And I said, Dan, it is not. And we had a fun joke about it. However, there is a lot of people think that content will be replaced by AI and, you know, large language learning modules. Yeah. And I believe that is absolutely false. However, I use AI all the time in my content.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think personally, my unpopular opinion among some circles is that AI will never replace good content, that you will never get the human out of it, and that people are already starting to identify. I mean, you can always identify the AI content just with different free things that you can load up. But even to the naked eye, people are understanding what is AI. When people will read through like an email series that you've generated from AI, if you leave things in that are trite or that are overused, it's very easily identified as AI, and it is not persuasive. So that's my unpopular opinion.
I'm going to double down on it. So the perspective I've shared as it pertains to AI and content is, I think when generative AI first kind of came on the scenes, I think it was late 2022 when it kind of became widely available, I think there was a lot of that fear of like, oh, this is going to replace content marketers, content writers, copywriters, et cetera. I think pretty quickly we all learned to see those. We could spot those, you know, with the naked eye, if you will, or with solutions. But I agree. Like even LinkedIn comments, I think, are especially bad right now. Like you can tell when somebody's using a tool and the AI is written LinkedIn comment.
Yeah.
But I actually think, so the way we use AI, and it sounds like maybe you as well, is I think it's more of an operational efficiency than it is a creative tool. I think it can help maybe start the creative process or infuse the creative process, but certainly not replacing it. And I think it might actually like cause the gulf between really creative, powerful storytelling and kind of transactional content or copy that is AI or maybe written using a tool similar to that. I think it's going to actually cause that gulf to be wider. So I am in full agreement. I think you're right. It's both kind of an unpopular opinion right now, but I am in full agreement there.
Yeah, I think that's right. It is very interesting to see how you can use it though, because at our agency, we used to go by the hour, right? And we really leaned into the value play where we're like, hey, we're premium content people, but we're gonna be totally transparent with you and help you understand, you know, exactly what time it's taking, right? So we were always trying to get our rate down and our time spent down for our clients. So I hired the very best in the business. I hired mostly journalists who had 10 plus years of experience writing in journalism. Mm. I love working with journalists because they can stay on time and on budget, and they have a great knack for storytelling. And so I built a team of journalists, and then we put them on content pieces that were more like business marketing related. And when we used AI as an outline framework, we used it mostly as a double check to make sure that we weren't missing any lines of thought that were within, like maybe we didn't think of this one angle, or maybe we didn't think of this one area. But it has been very helpful for us to be able to reduce the time spent, exactly what you're talking about with operational efficiency. But then you need to have that creativity behind you.
I love that perspective. So let's talk about your role now at Fullcast as CMO, and maybe tell us a little bit about Fullcast. And then also, like, I'd be curious from the CMO seat kind of, and everything that's happening with AI, generative AI, and content, kind of what is your lens on how Fullcast uses content, and kind of from the CMO seat, where you think content sits within the marketing org?
Oh, okay. I love that. So Fullcast, we do software and services for go-to-market teams. That is our mission. Those are the pain points that we're trying to solve. We're trying to basically take all the pain points along the revenue cycle and solve them. And right now we're doing that. Our go-to-market cloud, it's scenario planning, it's quotas and targets, it's territory, it's routing, it's data hygiene. We've got performance to plan layer through all of it, which is a really interesting play. Most sales planning tools are only basically a spreadsheet in the cloud, and then you have to like execute it somehow somewhere else, right? So this is a very interesting and differentiated solution. And then we have connectors between like Google Analytics, Adobe Analytics, Salesforce that are really important to helping like fill out that circle and remove pain there. And then we've got this amazing sales planning, execution, and performance tracking sandwiched in between two layers. One on the top is SmartPlan AI. We do AI modeling for all of those, what we're calling modules, all of those activities on the sales planning, execution, and tracking side. We use AI. On the bottom of the sandwich, second piece of bread, is what we call Copilot. And we do some amazing automations there, like with Salesforce Policy Engine and ensuring that everything is seamless, automated, tracked, and there's no human error in it. So if you think of that, you know, there's a lot to say about how do you use AI? When is AI going to be helpful for you? When do you need the human touch? When do you need the automations? You will never want to take the human, and especially not the RevOps hero, out of this. But if we can enable with AI and help in ways that can speed them up with operational efficiency, that's how we want to do it.
That's awesome. And in an era when, you know, I almost want to roll my eyes when I say this, but do more with less. I feel like one of the places to start is your RevOps or marketing ops or sales ops. Sounds like that is what Fullcast is helping folks do. We so often get focused when people say do more with less. I think your attention immediately goes to doing more, but I think just doing things more efficiently is really how you do more with less.
That's a great point. And I have been, because I'm in marketing, that's the world that I live in. What's your MQL cost? What's your cost per lead? It's, you know, $500, can you get it down to $200? Or, you know, whatever. It's always how much can you do with this budget that I have? And so when it comes to the RevOps side as well, and the tech stack side as well, there's a huge movement in the industry to cut the tech stack by 20% across the board. And so you have to find tools that can do things. Like, it's harder to find companies who want to spend separately on scenario planning and territories and quota planning and commissions. And so you want to try to find find a tool that's best of budget. And if you can get it best of breed like ours, that's awesome. But it allows you to be able to do that more with less. And it enables you to free up the time of your RevOps person so they're not overworked, they're not burned out, the culture's good, the sales team's enabled, everyone's happy.
I love that. All right. So I'm curious, we talk to a lot of marketers, a lot of content marketers specifically. Sometimes it's viewed as a brand kind of strategy. Sometimes it's viewed as a demand strategy. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's bounced back and forth very recently. At Fullcast, how do you guys think about content kind of in the overall marketing strategy?
Okay. In the overall marketing strategy, content is king. It always has been and it always will be, right?
Preach.
So yeah, absolutely. And I will say that I absolutely love using the juice. I love what you guys are doing. You're talking to the people we want to talk to. You guys provide amazing feedback and amazing, you know, distribution. So I will, you know, be a fan all the time, all day long, every day.
I appreciate that. That was not the intent of the question, but I do appreciate it.
Well, it's true though, because what I'm going to say next is 60 to 75% of the buyer's journey is done through content before anyone even talks, before a salesperson even talks to you. You are doing almost all of your buyer research before you talk to a salesperson, on average, typically in B2B marketing. And so that makes that content journey so much more important. And what's challenging from a marketer's perspective is being able to have the tools that will track that content journey so you can understand it. So for example, I was just now before I got on this meeting, this podcast, looking at who was on our website this morning. And I found out, well, there were 30 people from Gartner and another 20 people from another enterprise company. And I alerted our salesperson and I was like, time to call them right this moment. And so when you have tools like that, when people are like looking at your content, then it's really helpful. But that content is truly king. It is truly primary in the buyer's journey, especially right now where everything is digital.
I love that. No notes, nothing to add. That's perfect. I'm going to clip all of that and shout it to the sky. So I appreciate that. Maybe we can end the conversation on this round. This is kind of co-founder to co-founder. I'm so curious. You've been an entrepreneur previously and been a successful entrepreneur, and you keep kind of finding yourself back in this entrepreneurial seat and journey. Do you just crave that small startup resource constrained environment?
That's a great question. I don't crave the resource constrained environment, but I do crave really solving big problems. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm excited about. I love the enterprise motion too. I spent 4 years at Infosys and had a wonderful time. I've worked at North American Healthcare and a bunch of other enterprises as well. But what is so exciting is when you're in that entrepreneurial journey and there is a big problem to be solved and you have the opportunity to make people's lives a lot better by doing it, how can you say no to that?
Yeah, I love that.
Now, how do you feel? Why are you doing co-founder to co-founder?
I don't know. Maybe I should be laying on a couch for this. I love problem solving as well. This is the second business I've helped start. And I just love I love the pressure, which maybe that's unhealthy, but I like that there's no wasted energy. You sit in a meeting and every conversation, every decision, no matter how fast, how big, how small, how slow, like every conversation, every action has a very clear consequence that you can see. I've also been at very big publicly traded organizations and admittedly, they're very valuable and doing really cool things, but you can sit in a meeting there and kind of be like, well, I'm not sure I'm contributing to this. I'm not sure this meeting is absolutely necessary. A lot of things kind of die on the vine and you don't feel that impact of your inputs. Right. And so I love this environment where it's like every action kind of has a very clear consequence. Hopefully most of the time good, but sometimes bad, but you learn from that faster that way as well. And that's what I really love about this stage.
I love that too. You make a real difference. And when you're doing something for good to make people's lives easier and better, like you think about all the time that we spend in business, most people spend most of their life or a third of their lives doing business, right? Yeah. And you at The Juice, by creating this amazing platform that makes it easier for all of us to work in, is really benefiting people and benefiting your lots and lots and lots of people. So it's pretty exciting.
That's cool. All right. Yeah. I always enjoy asking, since we led the conversation with what's typically my last question, this will be my last question. I always love having CMOs on the podcast because I always think you're more forward-looking than maybe somebody who's in the weeds tactically day to day. So we've entered kind of H2 of 2024 or getting ready to, depending on your fiscal year. What's top of mind for you as you head into the back half of 24 and into 2025? What's top of mind for a CMO?
The one thing that I would say to fellow CMOs would be make sure that you are so closely tied to revenue. Make sure that you know those sales numbers cold. You know exactly how they came in. You know exactly how to spend your money. You know exactly what's working and what's not. And the closer that you can get to revenue, the better off you're going to be and the more marketing is going to work in tandem. I just had a meeting with a client where we were showing them all of the amazing MQLs that we were building and then all of the sales pipeline by source. And only through that data were we able to show a humongous gap in the BDR section where it wasn't advancing from MQL to pipeline because no one was doing it, right? And so when you're able to take that kind of data and show them from a metrics-driven perspective why your decisions that you want to make matter. The hardest thing for me to learn in business was coming as a woman and as a creative person, learning how to think in numbers was really challenging for me. And so I got Salesforce certified. I did a business analyst training in Stanford. I did everything I could to learn how to think in numbers so I could communicate with the C-suite, other people in the C-suite, as well as I possibly could. And I think that that is a really important thing for CMOs to learn how to do. Sometimes it comes naturally and sometimes it doesn't because of the nature of our split art and science role.
Right.
What I would say looking forward is, get those numbers dialed, get really close to revenue.
I love that. Always, that's timeless advice. And I think especially in a difficult market, I think the closer you are to revenue, the better off you are. So that's a great piece of advice to end the conversation on. Dr. Amy, if people want to learn more from you, about you, or about Fullcast, what is the best way to do that?
I would love for you to email me, amy@fullcast.com, or I am very good on texting. 949-813-0182 is my personal cell, and would love to chat with anyone who's interested.
Love that. Well, Amy, thank you so much for joining the Content Cocktail Hour. To all of our watchers and listeners, thank you for joining us. Rocky, thank you for the special appearance. And until next time, we'll see you then. Cheers.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.